The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Seems like a long time ago now, but during Lent, this past winter, St. James offered a brief prayer service at the close of each weekday. And these services were led by a variety of lay people who also shared a brief devotion. It might have been something they wrote or something that they found written by another author that's particularly spoke to them about the spiritual journey of the Lenten season. One of the devotion leaders shared a passage from Stephen Charlson's 2021 book, Ladder to the Light. Charlson is a member of the Choctaw Nation that originated in Mexico and the American Southwest. He is also an Episcopal priest who was the Bishop of Alaska, and he served for a time as Dean of Episcopal Divinity School and professor at Luther Seminary. The subtitle of Charlson's book is An Indigenous Elder's Meditations on Hope and Courage. Charlson wrote this book from the perspective of the indigenous people of this land because they know so much about hope and courage. And here I quote Charlson. "The spiritual resilience of North America's indigenous peoples is legendary. Our traditional religious practices were banned. Our sacred objects were taken from us and either destroyed or put in museums as a curiosity for our conquerors.
Our families were scattered into diaspora. Even our languages were forbidden. But we are still here. Our voice is still strong. Our vision is unimpaired. Native America knows something about resisting darkness. It is what we have been doing for more than 500 years. End of quote. I picked up Charleston's book a couple of weeks ago when I was feeling in particular need of hope and courage. I imagine you know what I mean. And this is what Charleston said, explaining why he wrote the book in 2021. Any reasonable look at American culture today would verify a pervasive unease about the path our society is taking. It doesn't matter whether we label ourselves conservative or progressive. The reality we share means many of us are losing confidence. We are worried. The ground seems to be shifting beneath our feet. We no longer rely on the institutions we once felt were our firm foundation. We are afraid, and we are looking for a way out of the darkness and into the light. End of quote. Perhaps you would agree with Charleston that we are in a time of darkness when we have lost confidence in our nation's institutions. What are we to do? And particularly, what are we to do as people of faith? I found today's passage from Proverbs extremely comforting. This passage reminds us that wisdom was the first thing God put out there in the universe. Wisdom preceded all that is. Wisdom is the foundation on which the world was created. In other words, wisdom is woven into the very being of the natural world. If we but pause to consider that natural world, we will see abundant evidence of God's love and care and provision. Stephen Charleston speaks from the perspective of indigenous peoples who have been historically very attuned to God's wisdom found in the natural world. The problem, I would suggest, is what the psalmist writes. God made us partners in caring for the natural world, and in our humanness, we have exalted ourselves, followed our own wisdom above that of God and the created order, and now, as Charleston points out, we find ourselves in darkness. What are we to do? Today's Trinity Sunday. God revealed for all the world to see the incarnation of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in so doing, God made known that the divine is three persons sharing one nature. This is a mystery. We do not fully understand it. But God has promised to teach us to reveal what we need to know as we are capable of receiving it. And that means, I think, at least three things. First, we don't know all there is to know about God. Second, we can expect to learn new things about God as time goes by. And third, we are dependent on God to show us what we need to know. We don't know all there is to know about God. We can expect to learn new things, and we are dependent on God to show us. About 30 years ago, I took a training program for spiritual directors. There are a number of folks in this congregation doing the same thing or who have done the same thing in a program in Syracuse. I still remember as clearly as if it had happened yesterday, sitting at a conference table and the leader walking us through a meditation. She said, close your eyes and picture the feminine face of God. I closed my eyes and I got nothing. You can laugh. And in that moment, I realized I was on the verge of learning something new about God that I had not seen or known before. Today, as we find ourselves in a time of darkness, I am wondering again if we might be on the verge of learning something about God that we have not seen or known before. Something about who God is, and therefore also who we are meant to be. The Center for Contemplation and Action distributes a daily meditation by email, and a week or so ago, author and retreat leader Paula D'Arcy described that while watching a desert sunrise in New Mexico, she sensed an invitation to let her ideas about God expand. And here I quote her. She said, I sense deep within that there is more. More to know, more to experience, more reality than my careful definitions of God. End of quote. What if we are living in a time when we are being invited to give up some of our careful definitions of God and to let our ideas about God and therefore about ourselves expand? Americans are fiercely individualistic. We talk about pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Even our spirituality is individualistic. We say that God helps those who help themselves. And religion is a private matter between God and me. I wonder if you've heard those things. But I want us to think about something this morning. The Trinity, the divine, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not individualistic. God is a community of three who are bound together in one nature, but different from each other. The Trinity is often symbolized as a circle. In fact, if you look at the rose window at the back of the church, you'll see two examples of that symbolism. Three separate elements, but all connected to one another. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit distinct, but united in an intimate relationship. If we are made in the image of God, we are meant to be like that, closely bound with others who share the same fundamental life, but who are uniquely different. What if we are not whole, not fully human or alive, without deep connection to those who are distinctly different? Again, from this week's reflection from the Center for Action and Contemplation, the Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis says, and I quote, in its truest sense, religion should reconnect human beings, binding them again to the creation, to one another, to the divine, to love. Religion should reveal to us how much we need one another to survive and thrive. End of quote. This is a pretty challenging idea at this time in our history when we have drawn deep lines of division, cutting ourselves off from those who are too different, surrounding ourselves instead with those who look like us and think like us. We've even done that in the church. People look for church to confirm what they already think and the way they already have decided to live their lives. But the church is actually supposed to challenge us to expand and grow and change. What if we are being invited to have the courage to embrace someone or some others who might challenge us to think differently, to see the world differently, and to see ourselves differently? If this is God's invitation to us, we have nothing to fear. I mentioned Paula D'Arcy. She sensed that God was inviting her to new understanding, and she asked herself a series of questions, some of which I would like for us to consider this morning. Do I dare start fresh and let God, not my coveted image of God, lead the way? Do I have the courage to ask if all I believe is the fullest knowledge? And if some of what I've passionately held to be true is only the smallest glimpse of something infinitely greater, what would convince me? End of quote. We are living in a challenging time when so much seems to be called into question. God has promised to reveal to us what we need when we need it. Are we ready? Do we have the courage to listen and the will to look for what God might be revealing that we have never seen before? That might just be the very thing that we need to move from darkness to light. I close with a quote from yet another part of the tradition, Callistos Ware, who is bishop in the Eastern Orthodox Church. It is not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers to every question, but to make us progressively aware of a mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as the cause of our wonder.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call us Savior, to fall under grace. Hear the joyful sound of your offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing.
Look at that woman.
There is hope.
Your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.